Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the review show after Liverpool drew 1-1 with Newcastle United at St James's Park. I'm joined by Tom Dutton and Ross Chanley from Red Men TV. This is obviously the precursor to the final word show that we do on the RedMenTV.com, where we'll be looking at it in depth and detail, 45 minutes to an hour, with John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap. He's due in about 11 o'clock this morning. That show will be up on the website from 1 o'clock. It's £5 a month if you like that type of thing. It is wicked. We've got a stat show coming up this month, looking back at the entire month's fixtures and results, and loads of exclusive podcasts and exclusive videos, if that's your thing. So do go over there and check that out. Loads of written content as well. Tom, draw yesterday afternoon, 1-1 Newcastle United. Same old story, really, mate.
It's frustrating because I said this in the last one. We create the chances. We didn't create that many, actually, against Newcastle compared to the other games, but we're creating enough to win the game. We're just... What is it? What is the eternal problem of Liverpool this season? Yeah. I don't know.
It's terrible, Ross. And listen, you know, I was speaking to Ross... Tom on the way home last night, and Tom was still trying to find the positives from it. For me, I think I've gone past that point now. I think I want something to change. I want the tactics to change. I want the players to step up. I want Jurgen Klopp to do something that means that we go and win a game of football, because for me, one win in seven since the last international break isn't good enough as a Liverpool fan.
No, I tried to put a little positive spin on it this morning. He quite quickly shut me down, and quite right too. He's like, you can't carry on thinking, oh, we'll be all right next week, we'll be all right next week, because it's clearly not happening. And like you said, something does need to change. I think he might have tried to mix it up by trying to give Daniel Sturridge a game, and I think it's backfired on him. Do you know what I mean? Firmino, for me, I would have started him. I know hindsight's a wonderful thing, but you're going into a two-week international break,
yeah,
and we're having the same conversations of things not working out and making more changes than you need to. I don't quite understand that, but I think that there needs to be a change in the system for the defensive reasons that we've said for the past 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. Do you know what I mean? That goal should never have happened. The amount of people that have commented and said, oh, well, I was 12 years old, and someone says, you don't defend like that. So why are two...
It's true, and listen, we'll start... Ross, sorry to interrupt me. We'll start at the top of the game, really, at the beginning. You mentioned there Daniel Sturridge comes in from the start. Joe Gomez was the only other change that I think wasn't likely to happen. You could say that he's just as likely to play Joe Gomez as Trent, and you'd be right, in fairness. Like, but the ones that surprised me were Daniel Sturridge and Joe Gomez. Everything else was absolutely fine. What did you make of that starting 11, Tom? What did you think of Sturridge being on the field?
I was happy with it. I think he deserved a chance to prove himself. I think if he wants to be that player who comes in and makes a difference, he needs to have that game time at some point. He should have performed against Newcastle. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think it's just tenacity, and that's what Bobby Firmino has. And I don't think Daniel Sturridge has that in his game. I don't think he ever really did, and we didn't ever really need it. But now, with the team and the way we set up and the way we like to interchange at the front, I think we need that bit more intensity. And I think he's just one of them now where we bring him on to impact the game, not necessarily physically.
This is the thing. Daniel Sturridge should have won that game for us. You know, ultimately, we've had 17 shots against them, 2 on target in 90 minutes, and that's not good enough. And one of those is Daniel Sturridge, where the keeper saves after, I think it's Clark's mistake,
yeah,
and the Newcastle defender's mistake. and the other one is obviously Phil Coutinho's goal. Now, we talk about chances created all you want, but if you're not hitting the target, you can create as many chances as you want. It literally is irrelevant how many chances you create if you're not going to hit the target. You're not going to work the keeper. I mean, he's made one save all game.
Yeah, especially when everyone labels Sturridge our best finisher. So that's the reason he was on the pitch. But yeah. I agree with everything that you said. If I would have started Firmino because he gives you that tenacity and he knackers players out. Imagine if you're trying to mark Firmino in the game, you've got to watch what he's doing every second of the game. Yeah. And by it comes to an hour, 70 minutes, you're knackered. That's when you bring down your storage on, because you need to take advantage of someone who's physically and mentally tired, because they're probably on the same level as him, as when he comes on fresh up. That's the state that he's at, isn't it? And he can, that's what he's for, I think.
He looked good a week ago, didn't he? Coming off the bench, like, and then, you know, for me, it was a really poor performance from Daniel Sturridge. I'd like to get your thoughts on it in the comments section, please. I have just put a little question out there just for your thoughts on Daniel Sturridge. We'll get to them in a moment. We'll talk about the Liverpool goal, I suppose, because Ross. Yeah. It was another stunner from Phil Coutinho, and he's just showing why Barcelona wanted him, isn't he, at the moment?
And the reason that we all wanted him to stay before he handed a request in the day before the transfer season started. But that's the quality that you get with him. He can make a goal out of nothing. And like you said, if he wasn't there, you're only having one other shot on target. Yeah. Potentially, you lose that game. And it's not just this game, it's a succession of different games that he has in that role, creating as well as scoring. No keeper saving that for me, I don't think.
No. It's the fact that, you know, when he picks the ball up, he's 35 yards away from goal, and I think he's only got one thing in his mind, doesn't he? But when he hits the shot, you're not expecting him to go keeper's near post, and the keeper's not expecting it either, is he, Tom?
It was the technique. The way he kicks a ball at a goal is ridiculous.
You got a close look at that at Hoffenheim, didn't you?
Yeah, it's just... He's just so good. I remember Klopp saying, if I could shoot like Philip Coutinho, I'd do it all the time. Mm. And it's right, because he hits every ball like he's striking the free kick that he scored. Mm. And it's mad, because you watch him before the game and he's doing his warm-ups, and it's all the same technique. It's all so hard, loads of topspin on the ball. And if you get them right, no keeping them, well, football saves that. And he showed it again. How many of them goals he scored where he's just picked it up on the corner, got a slight little angle, and he's got either corner to pick from. Mm. And he just, like you call it, you just went, yeah, he's top bin in this. And he did. And he's
what do you think of his all-round performance yesterday? Because no one's really spoken about that I've spoken to.
I liked it. I think he tracked back. He showed a bit of guts, especially first half that I can remember. He came back in, he started breaking up play, and he helped out defensively, which is a massive... It's a massive part of our system, because he's not playing winger now. He's not a winger. He's one of them people whose instructions are definitely to track back, come back in, break up play. And we've seen it do. We've seen him do it so many times, but only in the big games. And I'm not sure Newcastle's a big game for us, but he seemed to do the defensive work.
Is that an issue in itself, Ross, that our squad seem to be able to get up for big games, and yet, like Tom's just said there, it's not a big game for us? Would you agree with that?
I consider it to be a big game, only because the games you've grown up on and the history in Newcastle were a big team 10, 15 years ago. I don't think it should matter, to be honest. I don't think if it's a mental block, then...
Because it looked like... Listen, it was a devil's advocate kind of question. Mm. The way we started that game, we were up for it.
Yeah.
You know, the first 10 minutes was a bit end-to-end. We took control of the game. We scored the goal, and then we let them back into it. So for me, I think you can't question the lad's effort in the first half. Mm. What I think it's fair to say is that once the goal goes in, Ross, the heads drop, and we never really take control of the game again, do we?
No, that's where that conversation of coming back and having a leader comes about again. If there's no one there that would grab the game by the scruff of the neck, and then it's all right saying it, but doing it on the pitch, you don't think anyone that wasn't an outstanding performer yesterday, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I thought that besides the goal, the defence wasn't actually that bad.
No, I thought it was really good.
I was like, even before the goal, I was like, oh, do you know what, I'm just doing all right here, just keeping it simple, whatever, and then...
Well, I had a look at it just then, if we're going on to their goal, and... Yeah, I think the centre-backs were a bit static. I think everyone agrees on that. We shouldn't have let him run through the middle. It's a fantastic ball by Shelvey. But I was showing you just before, Henderson goes to press a man, it gets passed into Shelvey, who's then free in acres of space. And for me, I think Gini should pressure that. And there's a case to be made that if Shelvey beats him, then what's the point? He's just... But all Gini does is kind of stand there. And there's two balls on.
As soon he's got the Shelvey, right winger on, hasn't he?
He's got the right winger on because I think Albie's obviously pushed on. And then he's got that ball through the middle. And I just think it's one of them. It's just a bit of quality off Shelvey there. And a really, really unlucky. Most of the time, Matip just gets the ball, clears the man, and it's a non-issue, really. And I think he went in a bit tentatively, obviously, because he's coming in from behind on a penalty in the penalty area. But
I disagree with that, because I think most of the time the striker slots it before Matip can get back to the ball.
True.
Because he was so far ahead of him. Hossel, he was lacking confidence, isn't he? You could see that. Even when Matip comes in and makes the tackle, I'm not sure Hossaloo is shaping his body to shoot.
No.
I'm wondering whether he's going to try and take on Simon Mignolet. It's so strange. And now he's got the fucking bottle to celebrate it. Like he scored the goal. It's pathetic. And I'm like, I hate that.
It was on like goal reactions. I was looking at the comments and I didn't realise. I went, what a tackle, no! That's what it was. It was just...
He kicked the ball against his shin, didn't he?
It was so unlucky.
Do you not think it's a flaw in our system now that if we get dispossessed, everyone's fucking straight through on goal?
It's annoying, but then it allowed us for most of that game to attack from the midfield. Paul was saying, Jordan, it was... When we counter-attack, we counter-attack from midfield usually because we win it so high up the pitch.
Yeah.
And I think we just lost a bit of that rotation on the press and it cost us badly. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the chances. I was saying to Chris yesterday, we're limiting them to only 2-3 chances a game. And you said, but if they're clear-cut, then if you should finish them, then it doesn't matter what kind. It's a clear-cut chance. And I think you're right there after I was thinking about it last night. You can't give away them open opportunities. Any striker in the Premier League slots that, really.
Yeah, and that's it. And I think at the other end of the pitch, Ross, you know, Jamie Carragher, I'm assuming you watched him talk about the different strikers and how Daniel Sturridge will win the game for us. What did you make of Carragher's comments?
I think sometimes he's quite harsh in Liverpool, but Daniel Sturridge should be winning that game for us, shouldn't he? Like you said, that chance that he had... I don't know, I just see him more as an impact sub these days. I just think with the way that we set up in the system, like we said before, with Firmino, if you come out the blocks, you want those players that are interchanging and link well to come out and put you ahead first, rather than Sturridge, who's kind of in and out, and you know he's not got the same click as Firmino's got with that front four.
Yeah.
Not to say that I don't think he's shit. I don't think he's rubbish at all. I just don't think he's... He comes out the blocks as much as the rest of the team.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll go into the comments section. I've got a great comment, actually, from Alex Longbottom. Neville. Isn't it Neville Longbottom?
It is,
there you go, Harry Potter references. It's Neville's brother. I'm in 100% full support of Jürgen Klopp, but after 5 or so games, the same problems haven't been addressed, and it's his job to make sure they are. Scott Kay says, I agree, but with somebody else, so that was pointless to read that out. I agree, though. I do feel like that is Jürgen Klopp. So me and Paul did an instant match reaction last night. It was probably the most, am I right in saying it was the most heated instant match reaction we'd had this season? It was definitely the most heated instant match reaction because we disagreed on a lot of things. I think for me, I look at it like Alex and I'm looking at it going, why on earth are the same problems still existing each and every game? You know, the answer might just be we've got the same players playing and that's it. But Klopp is supposed to be a guy who develops a team. And I don't see that this team is developing right now, defensively speaking. You know, I can see that there are improvements being made to the forward line. I can see that the press is probably not quite as high up the pitch because we've not got the likes of Adam Lallana. I think we're making it a little bit deeper such that we can hit teams on the counter-attack. I can see the development of the side in every other area of the pitch. I can't see it with the defence.
Do you think we were that bad defensively yesterday? Do you think we were, like... Because I think we recycled the play quite well.
Not really.
How Klopp prevents that goal. Do you know what I mean? He can only put them out there through his system. You can see how annoyed he was getting throughout the whole game yesterday of clearly not listening or doing what he wants them to do, was what I thought. And then, do you know what I mean? That goal, he's not told them to do that, has he?
But it feels like to me, over the last 2-3 games, we are starting to try and play a high line to get people offside.
Mm.
Right? And if that's the case, Dejan Lovren, I was looking at the goal again this morning, and I mentioned this on the Instant Match Reaction, none of the lads put their hand up.
No.
They don't step up. You make it easy for the linesman, the assistant referee, by stopping and doing that. But what Dejan Lovren does is he slows his run down and keeps looking over at the linesman as Joel Matip is sprinting to get back.
Do one or the other.
Either sprint back and try and get yourself involved in the play, or put your hands up and ask for something. The fact is, I thought he was slightly offside, but it's so close. You've got to make it easy for that assistant referee. And going back to Tom's point earlier on, and why I think that maybe defensively it could have been changed. If Albi Moreno's in the right position, and I don't know if he is or he isn't, but Dejan Lovren doesn't have to cover that free man on the right-hand side and can roll further over towards the attacker running through the middle.
Yeah.
Now, if Dejan Lovren knows there's a fella over there running free, he has to hold his position in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
So if Albi Moreno's positions differently, that whole thing changes because Dejan Lovren can come over to the ball as well. But ultimately, it falls on Joel Matip there. It's his man.
Yeah.
You can't have a guy running through the right through the middle of two centre-halves. That is criminal.
I think it's just timing. I think we talked the other week when we said a good goal, and I think that goal was brilliant. If Philip Coutinho plays a ball like that through to Daniel Sturridge, who then gets a lucky break from a defender hitting it off his shin, we go, fantastic ball, good run, should have finished it, you know what I mean? And Daniel Sturridge would have finished it because he's of that calibre. I think Shelvey threatened that all game.
He did. And we never got a grip with John Cho Shelvey, which is mental because we know he's a good passer of the ball. There was two or three occasions where he set up attacks. And whose job is it to then go in and go, right, surely for me, Jordan Henderson's got to be saying, we've got to get a grip of this lad. He's the one causing us some problems. And if it's not Jordan, it's got to be another midfielder. Somebody's got to take responsibility. Instead, it always feels like it's being passed on and passed on and passed on. And they're waiting for somebody else to take responsibility. Whereas they all need to step up.
Do you think that, because we changed to 4-2-3-1, didn't we? Partway through the game. Do you think that had a detrimental effect on our pressing game in the midfield? Or do you think he changed to that to then combat Shelvey having a lot of the ball? Because we moved to it like fairly early into the second half, didn't we? Like 60 minutes in or something. Just before the substitutions were made, I think.
Didn't Salah drop as well?
Salah dropped into the 10, didn't he?
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
So, I mean, I wonder, because that didn't really work for us.
No, and it hasn't been working.
Yeah.
You know, you have it in sports, and you know, I'll go back to American footy because it's what I know as well, like, where offensive coordinators get on a roll and the defensive coordinator just doesn't. You have it in poker. Everybody sort of plays poker, don't you? Everything you do, you're outfoxing the other guy, and it goes in fits and starts, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden, they've got your number for 5 or 10 hands, and it feels like at the moment, Klopp's in a rut where whatever he does doesn't seem to be working on the field. He's making substitutions and it's not positively impacting the football match for us. He can do it.
Yeah.
You know, he brings Daniel Sturridge on in the derby last year, you know, and it positively impacts the game. And there's been times this season where he's done it. It just feels like everything he's trying at the moment is out of desperation almost because the pressure's on and it's just not working for us. You know, moving Sadio Mane to the other wing, he wasn't having a good game, but Mo Salah was getting free.
Yeah.
And Mo Salah stopped getting free. And then, you know, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, to rob an expression that Paul said to me yesterday about something else. It was about HDMI leads. It's just short blanket syndrome. We're just papering over cracks, and it's fucking Rafa's short blanket syndrome. Yeah. Rafa did a job on his second half.
Mm.
He said, you're not getting any more out of this game. He went there, he tried to get something first half, he got hit by Phil Coutinho, and after they'd scored the goal, he went, that's it, lads, let's shut up shop here. The fans will be happy, we've had a little bit of a go, we've scored a goal, we'll get a point out of this game, and we couldn't answer them. And he nearly got three.
Yeah, and in commentary on Sky, I think it was, they were saying a tactical masterclass. I don't think so. A tactical masterclass is not someone going, right, we'll sit backward. Like, I like Rafa, don't get me wrong, but just going, right, yeah, we're going to sit back now. That's not a tactical masterclass. That's just good preparation for his team and going, right, at some point in this game, lads, we're going to have to sit back. You see how all these teams in the past 2 years have done this against Liverpool?
Yeah.
Just do this, lads. Yeah. And he's the best for setting up.
We can't do that against anyone. They take pressure for 45 minutes and we can't do it for 5 minutes.
We can. We did it against City when we won 1-0. When we want to sit back, we can do it, but we don't because we attack so much.
And listen, we could have won it in the end with Chamberlain's header.
Yeah.
You know, and we could have won it with Solanke's header.
Genie's flick onto
the post. And how, if that was Liverpool defending, that goes in off one of our defenders. Yeah. But somehow Joe Matip actually plays an amazing pass because it stumbles to him and he sees Lovren free. The problem is it's friggin' Dejan Lovren who gets the ball.
Anyone else but our centre half, I think that's a goal.
It's a goal, isn't it? But they're the guys that we throw into the centre of the box. So ultimately, it's kind of on us. And then to round it all off, the army should have won the game.
Yeah,
I think it was their first corner of the game, and we know we're defensively weak from set pieces and stuff. And again, it's not only giving people like Newcastle ideas and confidence; it gives every team that plays Liverpool confidence because. Until you can prove that you can stop something, teams will just continue to do that. It happens in every sport. Like, they used to target Alberto Moreno at left-back with long balls, so it's like Everton used to move Lukaku out and just go, oh, well, you know what, we're just going to win the ball here all the time. You just can't stop it, so yeah. We'll continue to do it. And we can't expect that any other team is going to try any other way because right now we can't stop what they're throwing at us. We can't break down low-block teams. We can't score enough goals to win games. And defensively, we give them confidence because they know at some point there's an error coming from us.
Yeah.
And it's killing me. It's absolutely killing me because I want this Liverpool side. And I know this Liverpool side can be much better than we are.
It's hard. I'll say what I said to you after we finished work yesterday is that last season, on the season before that, Klopp wanted us to stop other teams creating chances and for us to create chances. And that's what we do now. We stop teams creating chances. All right, set pieces, maybe we're a bit lax. But in open play, we pretty much stop every team from creating chances. And
we've
then
conceded 14 goals in 7 games, Sam.
Yeah, but how many out of how many chances? Yeah, they
it doesn't
are,
matter how many all, chances, no, that's
but,
the point.
But that's when, let me finish for us. But we create loads of chances, and that's what Klopp ultimately wanted, is for us to stop conceding chances and create loads more. We've done that. The problem is the kind of chances that we create, that we let them have, and they finish them, but we're not bad as a team. We're not bad at all. I'm tired of saying we're unlucky. I'm really sick and tired of it because at some point you've got to hold your hand up and you've got to go, no, it's not good enough. But we're unlucky. It really is. Yesterday we weren't good enough, attacking-wise. But this rut that we're in is not us being shite. It's not us being really, really bad at football. Our squad's really good. We've bolstered it well. We still need to give a bit of time, I think, and it's so frustrating because I don't want to. I want us to be the best, and it's hard because the next game's United.
I do agree with you in principle with what you're saying, Tom. I do, and I want to look at it like that, but at the moment, I'm just so beaten down with it all that here's what I think. We're not good enough right now to get into the top four in this Premier League.
No.
And that's not to say that we're a shit side, and I'm not saying we're a shit side.
No.
But I said it on my Match Reaction last night, Ross, we're the sixth best team in the country at the moment, and that's a failing because we should have been kicking on after last season because we were the fourth best side in the country.
Yeah, it's going backwards, isn't it? I want to agree what you say, and I do to an extent, but I've got past that point of having the same conversation every week and going, well, we created 30 chances, but we only had two on target, or another defensive mistake. Well, they only had two chances, and they scored one. Or, like, I think every time Karius has been in goal, most of the shots that have been had at him, they've gone in, and it's like, that's not what you expect from any Liverpool side or anything. It's just like, it's kind of just Groundhog Day of getting you down and and being frustrated. But I do agree, and like, I think we have bolstered, and hopefully it will click, but I think something either personnel or tactics need to change because we don't surprise teams. Like you said, we don't surprise teams. People just know how to come and set up against us or how we play or everything that we've said this morning of getting frustrated and annoyed with. And other teams know that. So it's just easy to go, well, we'll just sit back and defend, we'll get them on the break. They've got a defensive in the set pieces, we'll just do them on that.
Liverpool can be 2-0 up and the other team's head doesn't drop.
Yeah. No.
Whereas if it was the other way around, I think our heads would drop. And that's because this track record of us just conceding sloppy goals means that feeds their confidence. And they can look around and go, we can still get in this. They've got a soft underbelly. And that's an issue for me. And listen, I'm gutted. And do you know what I need more than anything right now? A healthy dose of Paul Machen positivity. So we're going to go and film the final word with John Gibbons. He needs to cheer me up because I need this international break.
Yeah.
I think most Liverpool fans need this international break.
I thought I'd say that, but yeah.
It's mad, isn't it? And I was happy about the last one. And I was saying it was good timing. What a crock of shit that one was. That was not good timing. That was the worst timing. We've been in such poor form since that international break. It's killing me. Anyway, if you've enjoyed the video, drop a like on it, please. Subscribe to the Redmen TV. Click that little notification bell. Sorry I didn't get too much into the comments. There was loads of manks in there. And be arsed with that. So thanks very much for watching. We'll see you next time on the Redmen TV. And check out the redmentv.com. We've got John Gibbons in, Paul Machen, hopefully a dose of positivity, a much needed dose of positivity.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.